Hey guys, and welcome to this week's On the Trail podcast with Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray. Stay tuned. You'll get your inside look at the current going-ons within Iowa State athletics, specifically recruiting. But before we start the show, here's a shout-out to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach, that's located down on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. The Exercise Coach, it's changing the way that you think about fitness. Achieve the results that you want, no matter what they are, with these two 20-minute workouts per week. Now, hey, let's jump on the trail. Here are your hosts, Jared Stansberry and Adam Gray.
What's up, guys? We got another week of On the Trail, big week, actually. And we want to say a thank you to our sponsor, The Exercise Coach. If you are someone who has had a hard time finding the perfect fitness program for you, you have to give this a try. I've been doing it for about 5-6 months now. I love it. We've had lots of Fanatic fans reach out to the Exercise Coach and go see what it's all about, and they are shocked. If time has been an excuse for you, or maybe previous injuries, or maybe you just hate working out altogether, do yourself a favor. Don't stop looking. Call the Exercise Coach. You get 4 free workouts if you mention Cyclone Fanatic. Free, no strings attached. And I'm telling you what, you will see results, you'll feel it, you'll notice a difference, and you will stick with it. Believe it or not, science and technology has evolved over time, and the Exercise Coach is truly the world's safest and smartest workout. So if you're looking for an exercise program, please give them a call at 515-330-1299. And with that, Jared, let's get this going, man.
That was absolutely the greatest reader I've ever heard in my entire life.
You know, I felt good. Like, yeah. I felt like I left my body and I was hovering around looking down at myself in just in amazement of the job I was doing.
Yeah, that was absolutely
It's easy to talk about, though, because I do it. I've done it. And I believe it. And I've seen it. The thing that I was like, too, is I don't know about you. When I go, when I work out hard, typically I always get kind of like an injury. Like, you know what I mean? Or it doesn't put the pressure in your joints that a traditional workout does, but you still get the full workout, your arms, your muscles. I've never had my body feel like I've had such an intense workout in such a short time without having the feeling like, man, something might break here. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Especially the older I get. If I work out too hard, I feel like I'm going to get an injury. Don't feel that way at all with the Exercise Coach.
You're lucky you didn't get an injury when we went and played basketball.
I did, remember? I had a strain of the Achilles. I couldn't walk right for about 2 days.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. God, getting old sucks. It sucks.
So, yeah, you said we've got a big day.
We do have a big day.
Here on the Trail podcast, and I don't think that you could. That might even be an understatement, to be honest.
There's a lot of big names out there. And before I do, I'll throw a little nugget out here. I'd like to say congratulations to the Charter family as they welcomed their third baby to the family yesterday, little Duke. Duke George Charter, born 6 pounds, 11 ounces. I believe him and Katie are doing great. So congrats to Mark. There will be no Fallcast this week because of this. I hope people understand. But just wanted to give him a quick shout out.
Does that mean On the Trail gets moved up to Thursday then?
Yeah, I think we can put this up on Thursday.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
The prime time.
Yeah. So do you want to talk football or do you want to talk basketball first?
Let's talk basketball first.
All right. So Iowa State got their first commitment in the class of 2017.
Yeah, nice little start right there.
Yeah. Terrence Lewis. What do you think of Terrence Lewis?
Oh, you know, we talked about him the other podcast. I think he's one of those guys who will come into Iowa State with a polished game already. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you see these kids that are 6'6", 6'7", in their top 100 recruits because they're high flyers. He's not really a high flyer. I mean, he's athletic, but he's not a big-time athlete. But what impresses me is he's got a nice handle. He's got a nice jump shot, and he looks like he'd be just kind of a smart player. Would not surprise me if when he comes in, Iowa State, he's ready to play right away as a freshman.
Yeah, and I feel like Iowa State hasn't had a player like that in a while. Like a 6'6", 6'7", guy that plays like on the wing instead of playing down low.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like a guy that he's almost completely going towards the basket instead of playing with his back to the basket.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm hoping, too, with his size and his length and wingspan, he can be a nice defender for Iowa State.
He's just a natural slasher.
Yeah.
And he's maybe a little bit short, but, like, he reminds me of almost like a Tayshaun Prince, but just a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
A couple inches shorter.
I think Tayshaun Prince's wingspan was, like, 9 feet, 11 inches.
Yeah. So that's obviously one different. But he's got a long wingspan.
He does.
I bet he's pretty close to 7-foot wingspan.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Yeah. No, it was a great commit. It's one that hopefully will be kind of a snowball effect for future guys coming in too. And it's good to get that. It's good to get that first one in a very important class.
Definitely, and that we'll probably talk about this more next week. But Keyshawn Feasel is coming on a visit on the 20th.
What do you think of Keyshawn?
6'9" power forward. He's like almost the opposite he's got a pretty good game. He can shoot for being as big as he is. I don't know if you watched his. There's one video where it was like a whole game.
Yeah.
And he scored like 30 points or something, just shooting threes
and jumpers.
Yeah.
What have I told you about highlight tapes though? I've never seen one where a guy misses a jumper.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying that he was making three pointers and he doesn't look like a guy that's gonna shoot three pointers.
No,
you know?
That's good. Nice touch on the
basket. Like 6'9", 220, 225.
But he is a high jumper. He's a guy that you bring in for a shot blocker.
He's a rim protector. I mean, he's just like a big dude that I'm trying to think of a comparison. I don't even know. But
Jameel McKay with a jumper?
But like with a bigger body. You know.
Thicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he reminds me like frame wise of like Jamari Traylor, but with better, like with more game.
I got you. Jamari Traylor. I would take a Jamari Traylor. I know he kind of fizzled off this last year.
He's not like a go stand in the corner and we'll throw you oops guy.
Yeah.
He's like actually do things guy.
And he's not a highly rated guy.
No.
But he's one that you watch his film and I think he kind of stands out as, hey, this guy can ball. And then this guy can play in the Big 12.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I mean, and with those big guys, you never know what can become of them once you get them into a college program and stuff, you know.
You went to the Capital City League this year.
Yeah.
The transfer that you think is going to be a stud.
Merrill Holden.
Do you think his game reminds you a little bit of Merrill Holden's?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Merrill's a little bit shorter than he probably is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then the other one that they've got to visit with, Darius McNeil.
That's
in a couple weeks.
That's my guy.
What is that? September 3rd, so the first football game.
Is he – okay. Since we did this last, there's been a lot of news. Williams reported that Iowa State is off McKinley Wright.
Yeah.
And when I'd watch McKinley Wright, I'd say, that looks like a nice basketball player. He's got a nice form in his jump shot. But nothing stood out to me about being, like, a dude.
Right.
Darius McNeil, the dude.
Definitely.
That guy.
Dude, and the thing is, I don't even know if he had a composite rating on 247 until Iowa State offered him.
For fans out there, go watch his YouTube videos.
Yeah.
That guy's got bounce. He's legit.
I saw the video of him on Twitter. Yep. I'd never heard that name before. And then I saw a video of him on Twitter, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
This dude looks like he should be a top 100 kid.
Does he not have the perfect basketball name, too? I don't know why, but
Darius McNeil?
For some reason to me, that just sounds like a star name. I'll be honest. This kid is a guy that I've wanted more for a recruit than anyone I can remember.
In a long time. Okay.
I'm trying to think of someone in the last. Because to me, I always looked at the Cheek Diallos and stuff. Yeah. I never thought we were getting Cheek Diallo. I know all the Iowa State fans. Colin Sexton, I just don't think Iowa State's going to get Colin Sexton. So a legitimate guy that I think Iowa State can get that's going to be a stud. I think this kid could be one that's slightly under the radar. He's starting to get a little bit more notice, but can come in and Iowa State fans are just going to love from day one.
Yeah, definitely. I like his he's another lefty.
Yeah, we all know lefties are the greatest athletes in the world.
Steve Prohm loves lefties.
Who doesn't love lefties?
I don't know. I mean, I'm partial on them. You know, it's whatever.
I mean, I personally just think lefties are clearly superior in everything. But that's just me.
And then
bias.
Another guard put Iowa State in his top list. I don't remember how many were in his list, but
seven.
Okay,
yeah.
That's seven. Why? Why seven? It's just such a random number. You can only take five visits.
I mean, let the kid have his time, man.
You want to know why he's got seven?
Why?
Because that's two extra fan bases that'll keep tweeting at him.
Hey, gotta show him that love.
All right, but that's Lindell Wigginton, point guard from Oak Hill Academy, one of the like basketball factories in America.
That's where LeBron James went, or Carmelo Anthony? Which one went to Oak Hill?
Carmelo. A lot of guys have gone there, but yeah,
Carmelo was the one that was the most famous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I can't remember how tall he is. I want to say he's like 6 foot.
1'6".
So yeah, 6'1", 6'2", smooth, real smooth with the ball in his hands. Just a good to get into the rim. Pretty good shooter. He's a big time scorer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I watched the video of him and Wright, you know, like I said, McKinley Wright, nice jumper. Looks like he can shoot the ball. There's a different level of athlete with Wigginton as far as getting to the hoop. Different kind of bounce. I think he'd be a lot better defender. I mean, that guy looks like a guy that can wreak havoc on teams.
Definitely.
On the defensive end. And you heard a little birdie that it might be between Iowa State and Oregon right now?
Yeah.
Those are the two leaders?
Those are behind the scenes, those are considered the leaders.
Okay.
So, I don't know if they've got a visit with them scheduled yet. I need to do some checking on that today. But they're working on getting them on a visit.
Has Iowa State ever gotten a kid from Oak Hill?
Not that I know of. I've never heard of anybody.
I can't think of anybody.
No. He's like the number 52 recruit in the country.
You're
something.
Still fresh to this game, though.
Yeah.
So we were talking in Slack, and Jared, you pulled up the 247 rankings, and I think you said that, what's his name, Terrence Lewis is fifth best recruit in Ohio State history, according to 247 composite. And then you asked the question, who's Chris Colvin?
He was number three.
It made me laugh because Chris Colvin, when Iowa State got him with McDermott, I mean, he was going to be the savior for McDermott. I mean, things were going south. Greg's teams were not looking good. All of a sudden, you get this top 100 player out of Chicago, four-star point guard. Here we go, man. Iowa State's back. He pulled in this coup. And then he had attitude issues, never did anything at Iowa State. I think he transferred to Arizona State. But, yeah, it's just kind of remind. It's funny that those were painful times. I was probably, I was pretty young then, but I still got to remind myself that you don't remember those times yet.
Chris Colvin. I'd never heard that name before.
Yeah, you're not missing much. He didn't do too much at Iowa State at all.
But I think even if they could get two more of those three guys that we just talked about, they're going to be a damn good spot.
No, I completely – and then you see what's kind of happening in football. Once you get a nice base, you can be really selective.
Right.
Like, we are focusing all our energy on one or two guys, and let's go get a stud.
And I think that's what – it kind of didn't make sense to us for a while, but I think that was, like, what Iowa State had done, and, like, maybe some people didn't realize it. They had picked their guys that they wanted, that they were going to be, like, their guys, their top guys, and then they've just worked that really hard, you know.
Yeah.
That's like what you get with like Keyshawn Fiesel. Get him on a visit early. Get Terrence Lewis on a visit early.
It'd been pretty quiet. I mean, a couple of these names kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Well, the Wigginton one especially. Yeah. I just remember one day he tweeted his top seven and then
– there's Iowa State.
Yeah.
And then you hear the next day Iowa State's one of the top two.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Well, Darius McNeil, same deal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that one was just Chris was just talking to some birdies. We were sitting at Hickory Park, actually. Chris was talking to some birdies, and he looked at me and he said, Darius McNeil. And then –
then we would pull them up on YouTube.
Then it was time to start work.
And then I started slobbering all over the keyboard.
Yeah.
Yep. No, I think I'll be honest. I got a little bit of slack on the on the forums a couple weeks back for being a little bit down about Iowa State basketball recruiting. And I don't think I was being critical, but at the same time, I realized there are six open scholarships, and it's a big class, and it's a first-year coaching staff. And it was just a little worrisome, you know. I sit here today, I'm feeling a lot better.
Yeah.
I don't know about you.
I think the plan is just coming to
– we're starting to see it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's just come into – I don't even know how to say it, but it's like come together more to where the public can see it than
absolutely.
What it was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know? For a while, it just seemed like they were offering people.
Yeah.
And it's like, are they just offering people or do they have a priorities?
Are they offering? Are they striking out? We just weren't hearing many news. Now official visits starting to get lined up. And you know, I think – we were probably, and this is, you know, July time period, AU basketball, we probably thought more stuff would happen.
Yeah.
Where all they were doing is offering. Now it's bringing them into Ames. And then from there, I think Ames kind of sells itself, especially if you can get a kid to Hilton Coliseum for a big game.
Definitely.
I think it sells itself.
I mean, I think even if you can get a kid to a football game and see what it's like at a football game, and you're like, all right, take this, pack it into a building half this size, and imagine it with a roof on top.
And it's crazy. And winning.
Yeah, and winning. Well, that too. Yeah.
We're going to win this year in football, though. Here we go. So,
Matt Campbell said the offensive line has made great strides.
That's good.
Since Tom Manning arrived in Ames. So did J.D. Wagner the other day. The offensive line, man.
Yeah, just stop.
It's coming together, dude.
Just stop. The next time I hear someone, a football player in fall camp, say something bad about a position group will be the first time ever. It's never happened in the history of sports, ever.
It's like watching a
highlight tape and seeing a guy just shoot bricks all the time. It just doesn't happen, Jared.
I would have mad respect for the person that made that highlight tape, actually.
That would be my highlight tape. Just air balls and bricks.
No, it would always show your shots, but it would cut off like with the ball halfway in the air, and it would never see whether or not you make it or not.
And it would pan back to me with my hands stuck up in the air in the shooting position. Oh gosh. But seriously, what do you like J.D. Wagner and Tucker? Man, these guys cannot block us. We are just killing it all day.
Why wouldn't you say that? Talk yourself up.
Yeah, that would not be good. I remember when Corey Morrissey. I believe it was Corey Morrissey, was killed in Prague fall camp. They could not block him. They had to take him off a couple times. And I remember talking to someone up there, and they said, Corey Morrissey's a nice football player, but if you can't block Corey Morrissey, it's not a good sign for the offensive line for this upcoming season. And it was true. The offensive line sucked two years ago. So You know, I do think there is an element to good quality coaching, mm-hmm. and Tom Manning clearly is a good offensive line coach being able to help. I think I'm starting to come around that it's going to be a little bit better. I'm not letting myself buy into it's going to – this is what happens every year in fall camp. You start hearing that, it's going progress, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, I talk myself up, we're going to win 7 games.
I'm not going to talk myself into that.
But that's what happens, because, and there's nothing wrong with that because you want to be excited and looking forward to the season. So I look at it now and just kind of – I try to decipher what's coach speak, what's player speak, and what might – there's probably a little bit of somewhere in between.
I just think that what – even those defensive guys, they just make it sound like things are more – organized, you know? Everybody seems to be on the same page.
I believe
that.
More
than what they were in the past.
I believe
that. And I think that there's something to be said for that, because I think there were a lot of times that nobody was on the same page.
I've heard stories of me and Gino's time up there where there were certain play calls with personnel that wasn't even on the field for that play call. So I believe that that it's going to get better. There's no doubt in my mind. And that's one thing I want to see this year for the Iowa State football team is, do they make adjustments? Last year, they didn't make any adjustments. And I think it's proof just by looking at the second half stats compared to the first half stats. How many times were they looking really good, like they're going to win a game in the first half, and the other team completely made a couple adjustments, and Iowa State did nothing, and they were shut out?
Definitely. So the offensive line has to get better, which on that note means
– we transitioning over?
We're going to transition over to football here.
The exercise coach on the Trail podcast transitioning to football. Here we go. What do you got? Are we going to name names first and then do our hot board?
Because
we have some new names.
Yeah.
This is big.
Yeah. I feel like we should just let's start with the new names. All right, new ones.
You have me to name one here while you're pulling it up?
Well, I've got it here. I'm just trying to think where to start. Kay. Should we start with Addison Gumbs?
I think you got to.
Yeah. So this is one that a little birdie put in my ear yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Just as someone that is still at the top of Iowa State's board. You want to hear Addison Gumbs' offer list, Adam Gray?
I would love to hear it.
Oklahoma, USC, Washington, Arizona, Arizona State, Arkansas, California, Illinois, Louisville, Mississippi State, Nebraska, Ole Miss, Oregon, Oregon State, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Texas A&M, UCLA, Vanderbilt, Washington State.
It's pretty solid.
You came on this podcast a couple weeks ago and said they were going after guys that didn't have enough offers. I think they heard you.
I said that?
Yeah, when... You want those guys with all the offers. They heard you.
When did I say this? I didn't.
You said you like the guys that have a lot of offers.
Well, yeah, but I didn't say they weren't going after those guys. No, I don't look at stars. I look at offers. That's what I always look at. So, yeah, you're right on that. And this dude's got offers. If we are looking at stars, he's a 4-star as well. I think he's ranked the 10th best weak side defensive end in the country.
Mm-hmm.
6'4", 220 out of California. Yes, please.
Yeah,
yes,
he's a stud.
Yes, please. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy, I don't know how realistic their chances are, but the fact that a little birdie told you he's at the top of their list, they got to feel that they have some sort of a shot with
him. Definitely.
So that's promising. I think he's a kid, too, who's a little different than some of these other guys we've been after. Like, you see Angel Dominguez, who you say is going to move into defensive tackle. Big, strong defensive end, right? This guy is an athletic freak at 6'4", 220. You know, he's a speed guy off the edge.
Right.
So... yeah, excited. Who else you got?
New ones. Kobe Cumberlander, defensive end. He goes to a junior college, but I didn't write down which one.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't?
No.
Oh, okay. So he's from Georgia. The number 91 weak side defensive end in the country. Offers from Kansas State, UCF, and Cincinnati.
Yep. Yeah, he's from Georgia, Roswell, Georgia.
Yeah.
He's only a 2-star, but so – I remember, I don't know, 6 podcasts ago, we came out, we're talking about Bobby Rountree. Mm-hmm. Bobby Rountree's the guy, when you look at him, he looks like a football player. He's 6'5", 220. He looks like he should be a stud defensive end. But I said when watching his film, he didn't stand out as being someone that likes to hit. Like, he was kind of a little bit more timid. Kobe Cumberland, Lander, 6'2", 230, not ideal height for a defensive end. You watch him, that dude gets after it.
Yeah.
This is a guy who sometimes you got to put away the stars, and you got to put away the size and just watch the film and just say, that guy can play for me. I would actually take Kobe Cumberlander over Bobby Rountree right now. If that was my choice.
I'd say that's probably why he's at the top of their list then.
There you go.
Junior college offensive tackle DeMarcus Hayes from Mississippi Gulf Coast, 6'6", 320 pounds, number 13 JUCO in the country, according to 247. I don't think that Iowa State's going to, like, make finding a junior college offensive lineman one of their top priorities. But I think that if they maybe strike out with a guy like Caleb Chandler, who's going to be at the top of the hot board again, and Thayer Munford, who will be up there at the top of the hot board, then they'll go for an offensive or a JUCO guy.
So has a birdie told you that, or is that your own theory?
That's a combination of what I've heard from other people and a combination of my own theory.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and I'm not up there in AIMS, so I don't know what exactly they have and how comfortable they feel at the tackle position, but I look at it and say this is a kid's, to me, should almost be a must. Mm-hmm. Just I know they have Campos, who'll be back next year, and so will Filbert, but we don't know exactly how great they're going to be. If you can get depth in that position, and then the thing I like the most about it, you don't have to rush a Caleb Chandler or a Thayer Munford or a Kleinow or any of these other guys you're bringing in. If you get a JUCO stud like this who can start for you for 2 years, those guys don't have to play till they're redshirt sophomore. To me, that's how you really build up the program. You don't have to have a Campos playing as a redshirt freshman, a Burton playing as a freshman. You can slow play these guys a little bit more, get them bigger, stronger, and you don't see what we have had this last 3 or 4 years where off linemen are dropping like flies because they're not physically ready to play.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not telling – like, I'm just saying that's what I've heard is a strategy. Caleb Chandler and Thayer Munford are like 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
You know.
Hey, and I'm
– So, like, and I – if you add both of them – What? How many offensive linemen you had in the class then? Six? Seven?
Yeah, I think seven now, right?
Yeah.
They have five right now, don't they?
Yeah.
So, but hey, man, they got to.
Yeah.
They got to get him in.
I think it also kind of comes down to how the other positions shake out too.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Well, and they can keep recruiting this kid throughout the season, and they can kind of see what they have to work with in a game situation, and see maybe we do need to bring this guy in.
Like I was talking to some people up when I was up there. Earlier this week, and when I started bringing up recruiting, the first thing someone said to me is, we've got to get as many defensive linemen as we can get.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I think that has kind of shifted to like priority number one for position.
Yep.
But with offensive line, it's those two guys.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
And like, yeah, I like what your point you made. You see some of these guys on the field in a real game, and then you can kind of reevaluate what you want to do with the JUCOs.
Exactly. Well, and if you're going to bring in seven offensive linemen, which I have no problem them doing, wouldn't you want to have at least one of those guys be a junior college guy to just kind of bounce classes just a little bit? I mean, I know that.
I wouldn't be surprised to see maybe one of these guys that's in their class right now not there by the signing day. You know?
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be a kid that might decommit or something. So that would not be a surprise at all.
Yeah. So in that situation, then I'd say definitely. You know, if you'd lose one of your high school offensive linemen, go get the JUCO guy.
Yeah.
But if it's going to be a situation where it's like you've already got seven high school offensive linemen and you could add a JUCO, but it's going to take away a spot that you could get a defensive lineman to.
Sure.
That's just my theory, I guess.
And like I said, they know what they have to work with and they probably have a good idea. Is this DeMarcus Hayes guy? Is he going to be an upgrade for us over Filbert or Campos for a year? Because otherwise they probably look at a Thayer Munford and say, it's a redshirt freshman. This guy can start for us.
Right.
He's already 330 pounds. Yeah. He's a monster.
And you think, like, Matt Campbell just the other day in his press conference said that they like Julian Good-Jones's versatility, that he could play both tackle spots.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Bryce Meeker does, you know, proves that he can play center, maybe not this year, but next year.
Yeah.
Then maybe you see them move Good-Jones outside.
Tackle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I keep going back to Dylan Schoner.
Yeah, true.
I mean, he's probably a couple years away because he's never played the position before.
Yeah.
But he's a guy in the future I would not be surprised to see up there.
We didn't even mention that they got two commits last week on Sunday.
Yeah, we probably should talk about those guys, huh? Yeah. Well, it's been so long. So we did – our timing on that podcast was terrible.
Yeah.
Right after that, Terrence Lewis committed. Mm-hmm. And then
– when did we do that last
– when did he commit?
Just on Tuesday – or on Monday.
Monday.
Tuesday.
Oh, okay. So never mind. We were not that far behind on that.
But the kids committed on Sunday, and I think we recorded, last Thursday?
Yep.
Yeah.
No, Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Last Wednesday. So Ray Lima, who we had on our hot board for a while.
Yeah, he was one of the top guys. So is Camillo.
Well, Camillo we didn't talk about because he was a guy that they offered, and then we just hadn't heard anything about for a long period of time.
Until all of a sudden he was coming on a visit.
Yeah. And then he commits. Those are two guys. I don't know if you watched the tape. Those guys will start for Iowa State.
Oh, definitely.
I mean,
they'll start, like, day one. Like, walk on campus. All right, you're number one.
Because I think one of them for sure is an early enroll, and the other one might be as well.
That's another thing I talked to some people about.
They think they both will be early.
I can't. We'll talk about that.
You can either confirm nor deny.
Yeah, I can't say anything about what that situation is, but
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, those are guys. I know a lot of people say, "Oh, Iowa State's got junior college kids before in the past," and I can't remember Iowa State ever getting two defensive tackles that have looked like that.
They're Big 12 sized defensive tackles.
They're big guys. Yeah. And I like the fact that how do you say his name? Tagamoa.
Yeah.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Good for me. That he was a defensive end that's kind of grown into defensive tackle. So you know he's got good feet.
Right. He's quick. You watch his film, he's just a fast – he moves really well for being 6'5", 320, or whatever he is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited. That shored up the defensive line in a hurry for next year.
Yeah.
And then you still have the guys like the Robbie Garcia, who we've heard good things about. I think Vernell Trent will be back a year.
Eli Rashid just the other day, he was talking Vernell Trent up.
Was he?
Yeah, he was saying that he hasn't missed a single workout. He hasn't missed a single anything. Every single time he's been out there,
good.
He's been one of the hardest people going, and he just got first team reps in practice the other day.
Good. Have you heard anything about Jamal Johnson or Josh Bailey? I know Jaquan Bailey.
I don't know about either one of them. I feel like both of them, especially Jamal Johnson, I've heard that he's like big enough to play, but he's just a true freshman.
Sure.
You know, so it's hard to really – it's hard to play that defensive tackle position as a true freshman. But Jaquan Bailey is the real deal.
One of those two defensive tackles will play this year.
You think so?
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you got Pierre Aka, DeMond Tucker, Robbie Garcia, and Vernell Trent. There's four guys. Do you think we can go through the whole season with only four guys in the defensive tackle? Maybe. I don't
Probably not.
I left somebody out there because we confirmed a rumor of a guy not being at Iowa State anymore.
No.
Okay, we have not confirmed that. Okay.
Okay. So then I think that's – offensive guard from Tampa Bay, Gene Marcellus. I don't know if it's Gene or like Jean or Jean.
Jean Marcellus.
Yeah. 6'3", 295 pounds. He's currently committed to South Florida.
Yep.
But he's got offers from Cincinnati, Georgia Tech, Illinois, Kentucky, Indiana, Louisville, Miami, Mississippi State. And based on what – like I said, Caleb Chandler, Thayer Munford – are like 1A, 1B, this is probably like your backup plan.
Probably backup plan, but I find it
very interesting. He's a pretty good backup plan to have still.
I mean, yeah, they got five commitments right now on the offensive line, correct?
Yeah.
And we're sitting here, and they got these two other guys they're going after, and they're still going after a committed guy to South Florida. They must really like him.
Yeah.
I mean, why else would they continue to recruit a kid that's already committed when they have five commitments on the offensive line? I'm sorry, they only have four commitments on the offensive line, five if you count Alex Williams from 2008.
I keep getting
confused with that. They have Colin Newell, Jeff Nogadge, Tyler Jost, and Alex Kleinow.
Yeah.
So
if you add both those guys, you get six.
Yep.
That's still pretty good.
Pretty good.
But,
I'll be surprised if Iowa State gets both Caleb Chandler and Thayer Munford.
If they get both of them.
We're throwing a party.
I was doing some stuff last night, and I was messing around with the class calculator. If Iowa State got every single one of these guys, they'd have the number 12 class.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're having fun with that, weren't you?
So that's all I've got for.
We got a couple other names here. Tamar Reese.
Oh, Tremar Reese.
6'3".
He's one that I'd heard like earlier in the summer, but then he's committed to Indiana now.
But they still have him.
I
mean, once again, 6'3", 210-pound defensive end. I think we're kind of seeing a theme here as far as guys they're going after. And, of course, they're still going after that NJ Webb kid.
Right. Yeah, of course. So you want to run through this hot board then?
Let's run through it.
All right. Number one, I've got Caleb Chandler.
As
in, like, the least shocking thing of all time.
So I actually have Caleb Chandler but number one, but I'd actually probably would have other guys ahead of him if it wasn't for the reason that I think if Iowa State gets Caleb Chandler, their chances of getting a guy like NJ Webb increase.
Yeah.
So because of that value – I keep Caleb Chandler number one. Otherwise, I'd probably have Thayer Munford, Ass and Gums one, to be honest with you.
All right, then I've got Thayer Munford number two.
So do I.
I've got MJ Webb number three.
Okay. So have you watched MJ Webb's film?
Yeah.
That dude is huge.
Yeah. I saw him in person.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
He's a defensive tackle to me. Like, he's a guy that I feel like he already weighs, 280 pounds?
He looks like he's a grown man, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going into – I know he's maybe they can put him in the strong side defensive end and he can play that, but he looks like a guy that at the end of the day in college is like 300, 310 pounds and just destroying guys in the inside of that line. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. I have Addison Gumbs as a defensive end number 3, and then I have MJ Webb number 4.
Yeah, I've got Addison Gumbs number 4. So we're just, and I actually only put him number 4 because, like we were talking about earlier, it's like, yeah, Iowa State has him at the top of their board, but how realistic is it?
Yeah.
You know? So I just put him behind MJ Webb because I feel like that's a little bit more realistic of a option maybe.
Okay, yeah.
Number 5, I've got Kobe Cumberlander.
Nice. I like you showing some respect to Kobe. The only thing I don't like about Kobe is he spells his name with a Y instead of a P, like the Black Mamba, you know, the Great Black Mamba. But, yeah, I got Kobe at number 7, but I like this tape. I mean, throw the stars away on that guy. He's a player. Someone that I haven't heard mentioned, but he did come for a visit, and I'm still holding out hope, is Demetri Moore.
Okay.
So I have him number 5. Just Iowa State's lack of linebackers. I know they already got two guys, Ryan Vance, who I love a lot. But I think it would not be bad to have 3 linebackers in this class.
Definitely. Number 6, I've got KJ Hamler.
As do I.
Sweet. We've talked about him a lot.
Yes, we have.
4-star wide receiver from IMG Academy. Offers from Michigan State, Oregon, Penn State, Arizona, etc. 6'5", 956-pound wide receiver.
Big boy.
Yeah, huge.
He's built like Brent Bloom.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like if
– speed like him too.
It's if you – I was just going to say, if you multiplied Brent Bloom's speed or gave like Brent Bloom like a 98 speed rating on NCAA football.
There you go.
That would be
KJ Hamler. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you ask Bloom though, he talks about this all the time. In like third grade flag football, he had 27 touchdowns and he was just this machine. I think I've heard him tell me that story at least 9-10 times. It's unbelievable. I don't believe it for a second either. Unless he was playing at Clarinda or something, that'd make a little bit of sense. But
that's funny. I like how they were keeping stats. He had to have kept that himself.
He kept it himself for sure. His dad probably added a couple, like maybe a 7 behind the touchdown or something. He had 2 in a game 27.
That's funny.
All right, who do you got at 7?
Keyshawn Nixon.
Oh, nice. Didn't talk about Keyshawn.
No. 6-foot, 200-pound cornerback from Arizona Western. The thing about him, I was just watching his film. His highlight film doesn't even have him, like, as a cornerback. He just plays everywhere.
Yeah.
He played – I saw him catch a touchdown pass, like, on a Hail Mary as a wide receiver. He returned a kickoff for a touchdown, returned a punt for a touchdown, returned interceptions for touchdowns. This dude just scores touchdowns. That's pretty much all I think he does.
So he's a honey badger is what you're saying.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's a honey badger. Yeah, he just do it all.
Yeah.
Score touchdowns. Well, I find it very interesting that they're still going after this kid because they got Octavius Morgan as a commitment. They have Brian Peavy coming back next year, DeAndre Payne. They obviously, this is a kid that they must think is a stud.
And I think
– to keep going after him.
If you get a guy that, like, it doesn't matter where you put him on the field.
He can make plays.
He can make plays.
Yeah.
Why not?
Exactly.
You know?
Campbell said he's never going to turn down a good defensive back.
Yeah. And even – heck, if you get him in and it's like, oh, okay, he's buried on the depth chart, put him somewhere else.
Yeah.
Figure out a way to get him on the field if he's that good an athlete.
Yep.
You know? Who you got number 7?
Let's pull this back up here. I had Kobe Cumberlander 7.
Okay.
Number 8, dropped down on my list quite a bit. Wiley Lester. No, I mean, I keep looking at that depth chart. I feel a little bit better now, but if they could get another junior college kid in there and not have to play the Jamal Johnson or Bailey until their redshirt sophomore year,
yeah.
To me, that's an absolute must.
But you just said that one of them is going to have to play this year.
I know. Make the other one not play. Yeah, this year. I know. I hope they don't, though.
Yeah.
But they probably will. I mean, let's just be honest. Someone's probably going to get hurt. Plus, you're going to need – I mean, you got to run through enough guys there.
Yeah.
I know they're trying to get Tucker to play more snaps. It'll be interesting to see their philosophy compared to the road staff with that. Because the road staff, they rotated a lot of the defensive line.
Right.
A lot. So, we'll see.
Well, and I feel like they have that luxury almost on the ends, but they just don't on the end side.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like on the end, you've got, they move Mitch Myers back to end instead of the Leo.
Yeah.
So they're rotating him, Jauson Thomas, and JD Wagner at that one end spot. And like, I feel like that's a pretty good little rotation.
I feel
pretty
good about their
and they only want to
D-line
play
this year.
Jauson only want to play like 25 or 30 snaps.
How was he not in shape?
I have no idea, dude.
I mean, I get if he came in like last year, you know, he was here for a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
But now he's been in the program for a year and a half. I don't get it.
Number 8, I've got Cordarius Bailey.
Okay.
Let me pull his find him here.
I got him right here. 6'3", 215-pound defensive end from Mississippi.
Originally from Lincoln.
Lincoln, yeah. You just had to throw in your little Nebraska nugget.
I'm just saying that he's from kind of the area. So he's kind of like a Midwest recruit, but he just moved to Mississippi in the last couple of years.
He's a kid that Iowa State's going to have to fight really hard to get him out of Mississippi because Mississippi State, I think, is considered his leader at this point in time.
Yeah, the other schools in his top six are Mississippi State, Colorado State, Louisville, Memphis, and Southern Miss. He'll be on a visit to Ames for the Baylor game October 1st.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that Keyshawn Nixon will be on a visit September 24th for the San Jose State game.
Okay.
Yeah, but Corradarius Bailey, number 29, weak side defensive end, 3-star.
Yep.
I think he's just – he's another one of those guys that's, like, got that frame of a defensive end.
Yeah.
You know? And he's like a get him in the program and just see what he can do type guy, you know?
I'm very hopeful. For the longest time, Rhodes staff really struggled to bring in defensive ends. You could see it because Iowa State rarely got after the quarterback. Last year was the first year they really had success sacking the quarterback. I think they doubled their sacks last year from 2014.
Yeah. 15
sacks in a year, though, the year before is terrible.
That is god-awful, dude.
Especially when you're talking about the Big 12, and I know they pass fast a lot, but with how often quarterbacks pass the ball in the Big 12, to only have 15 sacks is – It's
horrendous.
It's not good.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was because they struggled so much to recruit defensive ends that could get after the quarterback. And a lot of the guys they put out there were so small that they were just getting buried. So I like the sizes of these guys that I'm seeing here that Iowa State's going after.
Definitely.
Even a Devin Lamp, who, you know, I made my thoughts known on him. He's 6'4", 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
You know, he looks like he can play in the Big 12.
Definitely.
I have Corradarius Bailey at 9. And then I have DeMarcus Hayes 10th, offensive lineman.
Okay. Who'd you have 8 again?
Wyatt Lester.
Oh, that's right. I've got Reese Lato, number 9.
Okay.
And then I've got DeMarcus Hayes, number 10 as well.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like I probably should drop Wyatt Lester off. Should I drop him off my list?
With
who Iowa State just got, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can never have too many good defensive tackles, though, man. You just can't. I mean, especially a kid of his caliber. If Iowa State's got a chance to get him, but here's the thing. Is he going to want to come to Iowa State now after they just got
him? Yes, I mean – it's hard to be like, oh, we need 3 junior college guys. You guys all got to come in and compete for 2 spots, you know? Because they've only got 2 years. It's not like you can sit for a year and then, just hope that your time will come eventually. No, you guys are all in the same
group,
you know?
I look at a guy like Bobby Leith, who we were pretty excited about getting.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't play much this last year, too. So, I mean, sometimes you get 3 of those guys in here, 2 of them are ready to play. Who knows?
Yeah. Good stuff, though, dude.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. I hear your wonderful girlfriend Krista's babysitting my kids tomorrow.
Yeah, she is.
So how
saving your ass, dude?
She's doing me a big favor. You know, babysitter's off all week. I've been scrambling finding babysitters. How do you want me to play this for you? Because and the reason I ask, my kids are really good.
Uh-huh.
Like they're good kids. So she's going to get down and watch them. She's going to go to you and she's gonna be like, I'm ready to get married. I'm ready to start having kids. Like if this is what it's all about, watching these 3, this is what I want. Sign me up. So do you want me to keep them up late at night, give them some sugar in the morning so they're just little hellions for her?
Yeah, tell Owen. Yeah. Say, Jared told me to tell you to just give Krista a lot of trouble.
So Owen, I mean, he's 4. He's been potty trained since he was like 1.5, 2 years old. I might just tell him to just poop and pee his pants all day.
And
then just sit in his pee pants, you know? I'm gonna put in the movie Talladega Nights, and I'm gonna have him watch those 2 boys and say, I want you to be exactly like those boys in Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
She's gonna come back and she's gonna look at you and she's gonna say, we can wait a long time. 10 years plus.
She might be babysitting Cammy on Monday now.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Every Monday going forward?
No, just this next Monday. Chris is going to Dirk's Bentley.
Course he is. Man, Chris, she's just she's the MVP right now.
Well, he asked if she could do it, and then, well, she has another job, and she doesn't know if she'll be able to be there like at the time they need.
Yeah.
So I volunteered to watch Cammy until Krista. Chris said he had to run that by Ashley.
Oh gosh, you could do it easy.
Well, I mean, how hard is it? You just sit there and watch her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how long? How long are you going to be by yourself?
That's the thing. It probably would be half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Or an hour, maybe.
You'd be fine. Although I guarantee you that hour would feel like 4 hours to you, probably.
Yeah, she would probably need to be changed, and I've never done that before.
You've never changed a dirty diaper?
No.
Ever?
No.
Huh.
I've never had been, like, around kids like that, like little kids.
Well, you know, maybe swing over to my house tomorrow, you know, with Krista. No hanky-panky or anything, but you can maybe change Olivia's diaper.
I can finally play Super Smash with Owen.
You play Super Smash? We got the basketball court in the backyard now. Maybe you could shoot some jumpers.
There we go. Are you guys going to the fair this weekend?
No, I'm never going to the fair again. The fair sucks.
Krista wanted to go to the fair tomorrow. Isn't tomorrow Eastsiders night?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No, don't go. Don't ever go to the fair. The fair is the worst place in the world.
Man, that's rough. Well, dude, I don't know. You probably – no, I'm not going to say it.
What?
I was going to say that water park in Kansas City might be worse, but
– yeah, no, that's a horrifying story. It just makes me sick to my stomach.
Especially considering the fact that they knew that was, like, issue.
As a parent, I don't know what I'd ever do. I mean, like I said, last year at the fair was probably the most traumatic experience of my life, and it pales in comparison to what happened down there in Kansas.
Are we reaching the end of, like, amusement parks?
For me?
No, just in general.
No.
Do you think we've, like, gone too far with our quest for crazy thrills?
No. I think a lot of things are trying to become safer. I think this is an exception to it, and I think they obviously made a mistake. But, I mean, you don't hear about that. I mean, eventually it's been here in Des Moines, Iowa for how many years, and what's ever happened?
Right. But they've never tried to put in a ride like that either.
Yeah, no, I mean –
but that's what I mean by have we gone too far?
Too far.
You know?
Well, that one clearly did.
Yeah.
That one clearly did. And it maybe it didn't go too far, but maybe it was more that they just didn't have the proper protocol set up for it.
Yeah, for sure.
But.
All right.
I don't know.
You good?
I'm good,
man. Getting down to the exercise coach today?
Yeah, I need to. Last week, it was a short week. I went down to the lake, so I didn't get in there as much as I needed to. So today I will be heading there, getting my workout in at the exercise coach, and trying to look good. You know,
there you go.
I got to keep up with you. You're still young, so you got that young. You don't have the dad bod.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. I'm about to go play basketball today, though. So.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, definitely, guys that are listening here, you're looking for a different kind of workout, give the exercise coach a call, 515-330-1299, or you can find them on Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines, 4800 Mill Civic Parkway, Suite 107.
Perfect for people that have had an injury. In the past.
That have had an injury, don't like, I know I don't. I don't like going to a big, workout facility where there's a ton of different people around watching.
I always feel like self-conscious.
Absolutely.
You know?
And we're not alone in that. A lot of people are like that. And that's a good thing about the exercise coach, individual workouts. You're the only one in there.
Yeah. If there's somebody else in there, it's one person.
One person, tops.
And they're not paying any attention to you.
And they're working out with a different trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I don't like, and definitely the injury aspect of it, or just beating up in your body. But for a lot of people, too, time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't have time to go work out for an hour, hour and a half, 20 minutes in and out.
You good?
I'm good, man.
Thanks, Adam Gray. Everybody have a good weekend.